We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. Their intention to rule rests with the annihilation of consciousness. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
Radio. I'm your host, Michael Storm, and as always, we're here live worldwide every Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Mountain Time on Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org via satellite radio, internet, phone. Speaking of radio, it was really cool. Right after the show yesterday, I heard a rumor that we were being aired on a station in California. I don't know if it's true. I can't confirm it. I don't even know where the rumor came from because I heard it from somebody who's here in Colorado, so they must have heard it from somebody else. So I don't know yet. I haven't been able to confirm it, but it's really cool. It's really exciting if true. And if it is true, if you can confirm it, shoot me the information, info@milehighlibertyradio.com. Visit us at milehighlibertyradio.com. All the stuff that we talk about is up there under today's date. If you just go right to about the middle of the page, you look for Wednesday, July 11th, and you see what we're going to talk about today. And if you click right on there, you'll see that there are any number of links to information, news, and topics that we'll try to cover today. And, of course, as always, we're here, you know, talking about the solutions. We like to call ourselves Solutions Radio as opposed to Bullhorn Radio. And, you know, things might be bad. We get that. It's, you know, it's bad all over. Everybody's out of a job. Everybody's struggling to pay the bills, and the mortgage industry hasn't straightened itself out, and everybody's still losing their homes, and it's just insane wherever you go. But what do you do about it? Well, you have a show like this. You take control of your media. You join a local group like a We Are Change Colorado. And you get involved and you try to change things. Heck, we've had on here people exposing the mortgage fraud. And as far as the whole mortgage fraud thing goes, there's actually information today in the stories that we'll dive into. One of the stories locally here in Colorado, when it ties into a show that we had not too long ago with people who came on to the show and talked about how they're dealing with mortgage fraud here in Colorado. And so we're going to dive into that when we check out the news after the first break, and a ton of stuff. Mainly today we're going to talk about, I had planned to talk about the TSA all day because I had gotten into a number of conversations in here recently with other people, including members of my family, talking about the TSA and kind of almost denying that they're anything but an annoyance there at the airport. And so I kind of looked at it at the approach as we've looked at some of the other things like the drone issue and thought, well, let's start and take a look and see what's going on in my own backyard. But then I remembered today is the 11th of the month, and of course the 11th of the month speaks to September 11th. Well, of course, today actually is 7-11, and you should probably be thinking about Slurpees, as I was reminded. But 9-11 is on my mind for a number of reasons. The 11th of every month, We Are Change Colorado, and We Are Change groups all over the world get out, and they hold signs and say that 9-11 was an inside job, and they hand out DVDs and flyers and do all sorts of things to bring awareness to the false flag event that was 9-11. And so it's fresh on my mind, and today is no different. Today actually is a joint operation, action, if you will, between We Are Change Colorado and the members of Colorado 9/11 Visibility. And they have all jumped in cars and are there probably right now as we speak getting set up out NIST in Boulder, where, and of course NIST is the ones who did the report on the towers and how they collapsed, and on the Building 7 on how it collapsed and everything, and it was all a load of BS basically. And so they've gone out there to NIST, and they're going to stand out there in Boulder and try to wake up the employees out there by, you know, pointing out to them that 9/11 was a false flag event. It was an inside job, and we're going to get into it, but we'll do some news next on Mahi Liberty Radio. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Are you a keeper or abolitionist of usury? This is the true debate between debt slaves, which will lead to their emancipation. The parasitic usurers have created many Hegelian dialects, which they remain in control no matter who wins. Example, Coke or Pepsi, Democrat or Republican, progressive or conservative. Here's a good one, gold money or worthless fiat paper. The parasitic usurer can enslave the people on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. The parasitic usurer can dominate societies with big government, small government, or even no government. The people can have abundance this year once they realize that usury is the original sin of the world's monetary and economic problems. The real debate is, are you a keeper or abolitionist of the mathematic fraud of usury-based money creation and lending? The emancipation of global debt slaves is the human rights cause of all time. Jubilee 2012, TheMountainHours.com. The Bible recommends a universal debt jubilee for societies which have been enslaved by usury. Usury, interest, or REBA is a mathematic fraud which always creates victims in a game of musical chairs where there is far more debt than there is money to pay it. A contract based on usury, interest, or REBA is void, as it is impossible for all borrowers to pay. The parasitic usurers can engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. Universal debt jubilee via organic money to hire the sheriff to stop enforcing the parasitic usurers' liens. Let's create a real-life miracle in 2012. It's time for the jubilee. It's constitutional, biblical, moral, ethical, spiritual, and possible. Hope, joy, and abundance in 2012. Pass on the good news. This has been a public service announcement from K-Rock, the Truth Hammer, and Mountain Hours.
Adobe Weeks here. I'm with the Ron Paul Bikini Team. We're on a cross-country tour. You guys see that picture floating around Facebook I posted the other day? It had like 500 shares of the girls dressed in the Ron Paul bikinis. Well, we need to build the team.
Would you like to join the Ron Paul Bikini Team? We're recruiting members at ronpaulbikiniteam.com. Just trying to find smart, sexy girls to speak revolution lingo.
Yeah, I'm flattered. That sounds great. Ron Paul Bikini Team!
If you'd like to be a part of it, go to ronpaulbikiniteam.com, upload a picture of yourself wearing a bikini and with a Ron Paul bumper sticker, some Ron Paul earrings or a necklace, and we're going to culminate in Breckenridge, Colorado, 7-7. Join the Ron Paul Bikini Team and come hang out with Sheriff Mack, Adam Kokesh, Gary Ferran, singers like Jordan Page and the Wandering Monks. Get backstage passes and VIP by joining the Ron Paul Bikini Club.
Welcome back to Mile High Liberty Radio. I'm your host, Michael Storm, and we're always here, 3 to 5, Monday through Friday, Mountain Time, all around the world on Republic Broadcasting Network. And we're always talking about solutions. We're always prepared to offer a solution to the things that we talk about, even when it comes to the news and the hardcore facts that you can't ignore that are out there. And so we try to take that approach with everything. And if you want to follow along with what we have going on, what we're talking about in the show, it's really simple to do. All you have to do is join us at MileHighLibertyRadio.com. Right in the middle of the page, you'll see this week. You'll see Monday, July 9th, Tuesday, July 10th, Wednesday, July 11th. Well, Wednesday, July 11th, you click right on that little link, and it'll take you to a page full of links that has a bunch of stories and information that I intend to talk about today, including the first of these, which are local stories. You know, we broadcast from the beautiful base of the Rocky Mountains on the Colorado Front Range here in Denver and Golden, Colorado, in that area. And so I like to do some stories and talk a little bit about what's going on here in Colorado, of course. And I know there are a lot of people along the Front Range that listen. And right now, there's something that we always talk about as a solution, and that's growing your own food and maintaining your own food supply, planting gardens. I talk about all the time about the three community gardens that Weir Change right here, Weir Change Colorado, has all around the city. There's one in Lakewood, there's one in Golden, there's one in Arvada, and one of them's gigantic. It's like a half acre or something. It's ridiculous. Just growing food and sharing it among the group, and we'll have an abundance of food here on the plains, just ourselves. But there's a story today, and I'd heard about this before in the Denver Post, denverpost.com, Urban Farm at Colorado Convention Center bears its fresh bounty, first fresh bounty. So the first food has started to pop up at this urban farm of the Colorado Convention Center. And if you don't know Colorado, if you don't know Denver, the Colorado Convention Center is right in the heart of downtown Denver, right along the river there. And it's just a big steel structure surrounded by concrete and streets and everything else. And they built an urban farm there. And I'd heard about this here, I don't know, a week or so ago, the first time I actually saw something about it. And it's actually started to produce some fruit. And I'll read you the story. The link's up there at MileHighLibertyRadio.com if you want to check it out yourself, because there's some video, too, and showing some of the food that they already have grown. Just around the corner from Denver's iconic Big Blue Bear, and that's the giant bear that sits outside the front of the convention center. Greens are being picked for the Colorado Convention Center's next big event. A 5,000-square-foot farm has been constructed next to the convention center that will provide a variety of fresh produce to the center's catering company, Center Plate, and their mobile food truck. The Blue Bear Farm includes two beehives, that's really cool, to pollinate such produce as basil, cabbage, peppers, and squash growing in raised beds. The farm is expected to produce 1,800 pounds of produce, that's amazing, in the first season, and as much as 5,000 pounds by the fourth or fifth growing years. Planning of the garden began almost 2 years ago, and is part of Denver Mayor Michael Hancock's Denver Seeds Initiative, which promotes urban gardens and local farming operations around the city, which is good. We're lucky that we have that here, and I'm always happy to say how good we have it here in Colorado. We generally have good rights. We generally have good gun rights. We generally have people who understand that we should be able to do pretty much what we want with our yards for the most part. And if we want to grow gardens, heck, they even promote it around here. I know that there are other cities around the world where they're, and just around the nation, that they won't allow you to grow food in your own yard. I'm not sure about where I live. I haven't actually tried to grow a garden personally there where I live because I don't really have the space. But in other places around where I live, other people have gardens. So I don't think there's any problem where I live. And I think we're lucky that we have that. The Blue Bear Farm is a perfect example of how the Denver Seeds Initiative is building a fresh food economy that will create jobs from plant to plate, Hancock told attendees at the ribbon-cutting ceremony on Tuesday, yesterday. This project has already created jobs helping the Denver metro area community. And I want to warn you about this because I just had this happen to me. It just did this on the page. The Denver Post website sucks. So if you ever go to their website, you can expect to experience problems. They have pop-ups. They have a pop-under. They also want to run 3.11 DLL recording information and stuff like that in the background and sticking cookies and stuff. And it's just all obnoxious. It's ridiculous. It's one of the worst websites as far as news and information goes. And it's up there with, you know, some of the big ones. Some of the big ones do the same obnoxious stuff. In fact, it looks like it's, you know, it's a canned website. Its core is probably built by the same people who build any number of other websites that you could probably guess at by looking at it. But so, yeah, just a warning. It constantly wants to update on its own. It refreshes on its own. It doesn't wait for you to do it. And if you, like, leave links open in the background while you're exploring other stuff, the links will fail because of the refresh, and it's because it doesn't have the focus of your attention. It's just garbage. You can't just open a link and have it sit there. And you know, there's my words for the Denver Post. Get a new web developer or get a Clue and stop annoying people with this stuff. It's very easy to set your website up to voluntarily allow people to submit their data to your website. There's no need to force it on you. I go to websites that I get completely blocked out sections of because the information from them will be being fed from an entirely different IP address, and I have a program on my computer that blocks out about 2 billion IP addresses and counting. They add more of them every day, including government snoop websites, peer-to-peer sites looking for files on your computer, individual personal sites, you know, and most sites it doesn't mess with, as long as they're not messing around in the background trying to take information or taking information from other questionable sites. Heed to all you web developers out there. The people who are using the computers are smarter than you. we're two steps ahead of you all the time. All you do is annoy and do obnoxious things when you do this, and you do it to normal people who aren't prepared to deal with it. I'm prepared to deal with it. Other people might not necessarily be prepared to deal with it, and they get upset, and I'm done ranting about the Denver Post. I finished reading their story. Hancock said he hopes the program can help direct 10% of the $6 billion that Denver residents spend on groceries each year to local urban farms. It sounds like a pretty noble plan. Small, but noble. Asked whether some might see the use of urban land for gardens as less necessary than open park space or development, Hancock said he sees the farm as an economic investment. Absolutely. It's organic money. It grows right out of our ground. It can be used, traded, sold. Yes, absolutely. We're always going to be looking to produce great open spaces in Denver. We value them, Hancock said, but that doesn't mean we can't find space to create economic opportunity for people and create an economic opportunity for the entire city. Produce Denver designed and built the farm and will manage the crops, said Center Plate Vice President Laura Rua. They will host educational events for the community. We're planning on organizing free classes. We're planning on organizing free classes where people will come and they can offer a donation to the farm or come for free, and Produce Denver will show them how to garden at home. Yeah, isn't that really cool? That's very cool. That's good information to have. Center Plate Executive Chef Carmen Callow said the farm can serve as a model for other convention centers around the U.S. It's a fantastic idea. It's very rare when government gets it right and it gets behind something. You know, the idea of promoting the general welfare, actually using the influence of government, not the force of its gun, but the influence of government position, the power, the ideas that it holds, to actually push good ideas like this. That's by Sarah Simmons. She's a reporter for the Denver Post, and that's denverpost.com. I just thought that was a really, really cool story, considering we're always talking about here about growing your own food. And right there, you can actually learn right there in downtown Denver. I know if you're listening from downtown Denver and you live in one of those high rises down there or something like that, or one of the condominium sites down there, you're like, where am I supposed to grow food? Believe me, you can grow food inside your home. And I plan to get an urban gardener on here. I have a whole list. Actually, let's do this real quick. I have a whole list of people that I got planned to come up. I've either sent them emails or made phone calls, or somebody's making a phone call for me, or, you know, the wheels are in motion, as the Seinfeld episode says. Wheels are in motion. They're turning to try and get a number of people in here over the next few weeks and months, because, well, you want to hear from them. Eric Lawyer, Victor Forsyth, Gary Johnson. I'm getting a really good connection to Gary Johnson. I already did, in fact. Jill Stein, she's a candidate for the Green Party presidency. The Urban Garden guy, I have his name written down somewhere, and I cannot find it, and I want to just kick myself really bad, because this guy's doing really cool stuff all over the nation, helping people build urban gardens. Dr. Tenpenny, we're going to talk about vaccines coming up in a very, very, very near future. Richard Mack, Jordan Page, Adam Kokesh, Luke Radowski, Gary Franchi, who started out here on Republic Broadcasting Networks. I was able to pick his brain over this last weekend at the Puff Festival and talk about how he's, you know, become, how he went from here and has done the things that he's done, including creating the movie Camp FEMA. Amazing. Peter Laird, he's a local economist. He's someone that I've known for years in an Austrian economics group that I attended. Well, he is an expert on Bitcoin. I myself set up a Bitcoin account, and you don't really set up an account. You open up a wallet is what you do. Today for myself to see how it works, and we're going to have Peter Laird come in here and tell us how Bitcoin works and how it can help you. And the magical, mystical Bert, that's right, that guy, the sovereign, I got his phone number. We'll be back on My High Liberty Radio.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Terravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Terravim? Simple. Terravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to terravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on Earth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Welcome back to My High Radio. It is Wednesday, July 11th, and of course we're going to jump into the whole September 11th, 9/11 conspiracy. I'm holding up the quotes thing. I'm not a believer that it's a conspiracy. I have spent thousands of hours, literally. I've tried to quantify it, and the number of hours is so ridiculous that it's not even worth actually. It's in the thousands of hours over the last decade or so that I've spent understanding 9/11. I'm not like a lot of people. I wasn't fooled by it from day one. I looked at my wife and said, "We got problems. Something is seriously wrong." By February of 2002, I myself had decided that there was no question in my mind that what I saw with my eyes that day was a demolition. And we're going to dive into all of that and talk about it because I know a lot of people want to hear about it. There's a demand to talk about it, even though it's an old sort of story, and some people question the usefulness of trying to use it to wake people up. Well, it's just like anything. It's a glaring example of the individuals within government who can allow things like this to happen or cause things like this to happen just by signing a document or training a certain person somewhere. We'll dive into all of these aspects of it here very shortly, real quick. I'm just going to do a couple more stories. And also the We Are Change crew and the Colorado 9/11 visibility crew are up in Boulder right now at NIST. And hopefully they're planning to call in and join us for the conversation a little bit. We'll pass the phone around a little bit, something like that, and have them jump in on the topic of 9/11 and the false flag event and the terror state that has risen up around it and all of the notions that surround it, really. I'm on a second story here in Colorado. It's important because this comes up in relation to another a show that we've done here recently in regards to mortgage fraud here in Colorado. And this is from thestreet.com under their business news section from the Denver Post, ultimately, and Dave Mioia today. He wrote this a couple of hours ago, in fact. Colorado's 10 appointed public trustees resign. Colorado's appointed public trustees agreed to step down on Tuesday, 2 days after a Denver Post reporter outlined the questionable spending practices of some of those individuals. And I'll tell you what the public trustees are. Public trustees are the group that is supposed to impartially oversee and handle the administration over the foreclosure system for the entire state, as well as the deeds of trust that are filed on each of the properties. So Governor John Hickenlooper accepted the resignations of 9 of the trustees Tuesday, officials said, and the 10th said she decided on Monday to retire. The resignations are effective in 30 days, and Hickenlooper is expected to name replacements within 45 days, according to Roxanne White, as chief of staff. The Hickenlooper administration is above good government, is about, sorry, yeah, there's a Freudian slip for you. The Hickenlooper administration is about good government and reinstalling confidence in the public, and we must get it back to a place where that happens, White told the Post in announcing the resignations. We are about hiring those who exemplify the good standards of ethical conduct. And there it says, public trustees are to impartially oversee and administer the state's foreclosure system, as well as maintain the filing of deeds of trust on properties, which is maybe a little bit cleaner than, well, how I said it. But the Post on Sunday detailed how some had personally benefited or profited from their position, while in other cases, trustee employees received benefits not available to other county government employees. Resignations were submitted by, and it goes and lists them all off. If you want to find out, MileHighLibertyRadio.com, right in the middle of the page, click on today's date. It'll take you to a page full of links. It's the second link under Colorado. It gives the names of all of them and what counties they were in, if they were in your county. From Atlanta, Hickenlooper on Tuesday requested the resignations during a conference call in which all 10 trustees participated. One trustee had suggested resignations might be in order. Hickenlooper made it very clear this was an extremely serious issue and wanted a clean start, his deputy chief of staff, Kevin Patterson, said. All 10 trustees, the only public trustees among Colorado's 64 counties who were hired in that manner, are eligible to reapply for appointment. And it goes on a little bit, but this is exactly, the story actually goes on quite a bit more. They just go on to the story about how the Post detailed that several of the trustees have accepted contributions from political and nonprofit associations that they formed themselves. Several foreclosure attorneys and businesses in which they owned an interest or had an interest in one way or another. And the trustees by law were, of course, to oversee those peoples and those businesses and those functions impartially. But, of course, they didn't that. And it's exactly what we talked about. Katie and Lisa came in here and said that exactly. And maybe this is all tied. I don't know. I'll have to go back and find what the Post did. I missed the story that originally came out that actually caused all this and didn't have time to go back and get it right now because I was working on other stuff. I got so many things to talk about. And we're going to get into this 9/11 thing. I've got a couple of more really important stories, though. There's new laser scanners going in. Gizmodo reports this, gizmodo.com. And we'll jump into that story as soon as we get back from the break. You're listening to Mile High Liberty Radio. I'm your host, Michael Storm. It's all about solutions. It's all about love. It's all about intent. It's all about it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The people are the money. Money is energy transfer technology, which is better than barter. Let's go back to basics to determine what money is. Before money, the people barter their services and products. A perfect barter system is one in which the participants can provide everything they need to sustain life. With this system, they are sovereign and independent. Imagine there are 25 businesses in this perfect barter system. They could get what they needed without the reserve notes and sustain life. The problem with barter is that you need to find a person to have a direct trade with at a precise time. What if each business in the barter network created a $100 gift certificate out of thin air? The barter network could then trade gift certificates as a form of money without having to find a direct part. Paper money does not counterfeit. People counterfeit. Summit County Currency Cooperative is an honest issuer that keeps the quantity of money equal to the capacity of the producers in the network. Don't fall for the Rothschild's gold money disinformation. The elite control gold and silver, and the people will have to borrow it from them with usury. The people are the gold and can create money which makes them sovereign and independent from the parasitic usurers. MountainHours.com. Money is a form of energy transfer technology which can be used for good or evil. Currently, it is evil because 1. It is based on a debt with interest which is mathematically unsustainable and results in exponentially compounding debt. 2. The money power is stolen by the parasites and spent by them first instead of the producer. 3. The parasites control its distribution in a top-down system. The currency then flows in economic circuits which support the values of the oligarchy. 4. The parasite purposely expands and contracts the supply to engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty. Solution? Usury-free local currency energy transfer technology permits the people to harness their own commercial energy. Only then are they sovereign to finance projects which support their values in a sustainable manner. No longer are the people in a condition whereby they are a dog which begs its own fleas for some of its own blood back. MountainHours.com.
Welcome back to Mile High Liberty Radio. I'm your host, Michael Storm. You can find us here every Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m., all around the world on Republic Broadcasting. You can find them at republicbroadcasting.org. And from there, you can find a myriad of ways to listen to us, including on Shoutcast, over the phone. I heard that supposedly a radio station was airing an episode or a show, or maybe it picked us up in California. I don't know. Haven't been able to confirm it yet, but if it's true, it would be the first actual radio affiliate, which would be really cool, because I haven't even been able to squeeze anybody to put me on air here, right here in Colorado yet, as far as to be able to actually pick me up by just tuning in a radio dial. But it's really cool, really exciting, really fun stuff going around here. And as always, we're talking about solutions. I was doing some news stories, and just before the break, I said, and you heard me correctly, new scanners going in. And yes, when I'm talking about scanners, I mean those scanners. I'm talking about airport scanners. And this was a really, really interesting story, because we'll have to see how this continues to play out. Lasers are still radiation, mind you. Gizmodo.com, or Modo, depending on how you want to say it. GIZMODO.com. They're the ones that came up with this particular story. Hidden government scanners will instantly know everything about you from 164 feet away. Within the next year or two, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security will instantly know everything about your body, clothes, and luggage with a new laser-based molecular scanner fired from 164 feet or 50 meters away. from traces of drugs or gunpowder on your clothes to what you had for breakfast to the adrenaline level in your body, agents will be able to get any information they want without even touching you and without you even knowing it. This is actual quotes from the article. The technology is so incredibly effective that in November 2011, its inventors were subcontracted by InQtel, which you'll see they even mention it here in this story. It's basically an arm of the CIA. It's their business arm. It's intelligence is what it is. To work with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, InQtel is a company founded in February 1999 by a group of private citizens at the request of the director of the CIA and with the support of the U.S. Congress. According to InQtel, they are the bridge between the agency and new technology companies. They set up Google, YouTube. Their plan is to install this molecular-level scanning in airports and border crossings all across the United States. The official stated goal of this arrangement is to be able to quickly identify explosives, dangerous chemicals, or bioweapons at a distance. The machine is 10 million times faster. Oh, I misprinted that. I put 1 million times faster radiation. The machine is 10 million times faster and 1 million times more sensitive. That's it. Than any currently available system. That means it can be used systematically on everyone passing through the airport security, not just suspect or randomly sampled people. This might be a good thing, and that's why I brought this up and this all had to do. And I'm gonna leave that story there. The link is up there. I'm gonna come back to it tomorrow when I get into the TSA thing, but I just wanted to hit on that. And there's another really, really interesting story. This is out of the UK. And I put this one under the title, The New Fluoride. So check this out. This is the dailymail.co.uk. This is a mail online. New chemical makes teeth cavity proof and could do away with dentist visits forever. Chemical could be added to toothpaste in a year's time, kills bacteria that erode teeth. Single dose protects mouth for hours. Keep 32 chemical could even be added to foods by Bob Waugh. And this was published yesterday for the Daily Mail. A new chemical could make human teeth cavity-proof and do away with the need for visits to the dentist forever. The molecule has been called Keep32 after the 32 teeth in the human mouth. The chemical was designed by dentists in Chile and wipes out all the bacteria that cause cavities in just 60 seconds in tests. That can't be a good thing. Bacteria in your teeth are there for a reason. The chemical could be added to current dental care product, turning toothpaste, mouthwash, and chewing gum into super cleaners that could get rid of underlying causes of tooth decay. Yeah, but what else is it going to cause if it's actually... This was my problem with this entire article. They're talking about killing off the bacteria for hours. Single dose protects the mouth for hours. It kills off the bacteria that turns sugar into a lactic acid, which is what causes the erosion of teeth enamel. But what else is that bacteria in there for? And when it's gone for hours at a time, doesn't that mean that there's no protection? There was some problems with the whole thing. The entire article, again, MileHighLibertyRadio.com. Click on today's date. It's up there. It's from the Daily Mail in London. And just for you people on the other side of the pond, because I know you're listening and I know you're concerned about this, because the Olympics is coming up and there's been a lot of talk about potential false flags, which we're going to get into the 9/11 false flag event here real quick as soon as I do this story, in fact. I figure this. I put this one up here last it's not last in order on the links, but I chose it last out of the links because it puts us right in line with the topic that we're going to go into as soon as we finish this, because it's all about false flag events, and it's the UK military asked to cover 3,500 Olympic security worker shortfalls, and this is of course been. The question, is there going to be an attack at the Olympics? There's been a lot of speculation about there being any number of things. They've set up thousands of people for security, and they've got, you know, crazy things. Let's see, this looks like a rocket launcher or something. What is this thing? In this May 3rd, 2012 file photo, Sergeant Craig from Britain's Royal Artillery Regiment, holds a high-velocity missile, or HVM, lightweight multiple, it's got like three of them, lightweight multiple launcher during a media event ahead of a training exercise designed to test military procedures prior to the Olympics period in Blackheath, London. And so the article goes on. This is on MSN.com, and as usual, MileHighLibertyRadio.com. Click on today's date. The link is there. By Keir Simmons for NBC News. It was updated at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, apparently. London, Britain's military was asked to provide an extra 3,500 personnel for the Olympic Games with only 16 days to go before the opening ceremony. And I will argue, and many others will argue, that this was a plan all along. You can't tell me that with the world's economy right now, they couldn't find 3,500 people to fill the jobs. They planned it this way. Government sources told NBC News on Wednesday. Private security contractors, G4S, oh, gee, I'm shocked, concealed it may. They're all over the place. If you don't know who they are, look them up. G, the number 4S, conceded it may not be able to supply the number of guards made up of certified security workers and temporary recruits it had originally agreed. A company statement said, "We have encountered some issues in relation to workforce supply and scheduling over the last couple of weeks, but are resolving these every day and remain committed to providing a security workforce for the start of the London 2012 Games. Our planning with the London Organizing Committee of the Olympic and Paralympic Games and other security agencies allows for a variety of contingencies which have been reviewed in the build-up to the Games. They've been talking about everything. We accept that the government has decided to overlay additional resources," that's the statement added. "It would be potentially a major embarrassment for Olympic organizers to have insisted plans are in place to ensure the Games is safe." It's just pretty crazy. G4S has a contract potentially worth almost $460 million to provide the personnel, many of whom are still being trained. And that's been a big story that's gone around. One guy infiltrated a news reporter over there in the UK, infiltrated the G4S and tried to become a part of their security and was being trained for it and whistle blew on some of the things that they're planning for, because they're planning for ultimate terrorism. And they're not just like we're prepared if something happens. They're preparing for it as if they know something has happened. At least that's been this gentleman's assertion anyway. The military had previously been asked to provide a total of about 13,000 personnel, including up to 7,500 for civilian security at games venues. The remainder will be involved in military operations linked to game security. So now, you heard me read the thing. Now, that's three different numbers in the exact same article. So, obfuscation of the truth. How many are there going to be? Just expect to see a whole hell of a lot of guys in military uniforms, probably carrying guns just like they do at your airports there in the UK. You know, that's something you haven't got to see much of here in America. Maybe you've been a lucky one and been able to see them, but overseas for a long, long time, they just have real military present in their airports, and they don't necessarily bother the people, but you kind of feel safe, I guess. I don't know. I mean, this, I'm talking about this all pre-9/11, in fact, the last time I was overseas and went through the airport there. And they, you know, it was comforting. I wasn't being assaulted by anyone or anything like that. I wasn't forced to go through a chemical sniffing machine, anything like that. So anyway, just my little 2 cents on that whole thing. And it all leads up to what I want to talk about today, the rest of the show, as well as tomorrow, which I had originally planned to talk about the TSA. And so some of this stuff I'll come back to. In fact, that thing about the laser scanners, I found that while looking for information on the TSA, and then I switched gears right in the middle of the day and just decided, you know what, I'm going to do the whole 9/11 thing because it's the 11th of the month, because we are Change Colorado, and Colorado 9/11 visibility right now are down in Boulder, or up in Boulder, I guess I should say, maybe over in Boulder from where I'm at technically, over in Boulder right now outside of NIST, holding signs and handing out CDs, and I don't think they were necessarily planning to bullhorn and getting people's faces this time, but it sounded like they definitely had a number of people coming out, because it's a joint operation. We've been working to do this for a while, put together some not operation, I guess that sounds bad. That sounds like a military thing, I guess. It's a joint action between Colorado 9/11 Visibility and WeAreChangeColorado.org. That's where you can find We Are Change Colorado, is WeAreChangeColorado.org. I try to throw that in there every once in a while. So hopefully the guys are listening and they're all down there and they want to jump into the show, because we're going to switch gears and get into this 9/11 thing, mainly because the NIST thing, obvious. The NIST thing is the most obvious thing, and that's why they're out there. They're down there right now at NIST, because the NIST report has been the most recent stuff that has come out. The most recent was their report on Building 7, and that's been a little bit of time ago, but it was just lies. It was really nothing. And that's not even fair, I guess. That's not even really fair to say at all. It's not necessarily lies. They're more like half-truths, and that's one of the things that I'll try to catch on as we're talking about this, as we go along throughout the rest of the show today. And talking about the 9/11 thing is the words that they use, and you have to be very careful. And it's pretty funny, because one of the links that I'm going to share is a link to an interview of a professor and Kevin Ryan. Kevin Ryan is a whistleblower. He's a former lab manager at Underwriter Laboratories, and it's his information that he knows that Underwriter Laboratories has worked on the steel that NIST collected, and he claims that the tests show that fire wouldn't soften the steel like they said. I think tests showed at most that the warping of the floors was like 3 inches. When the model came out that NIST actually provided, it was more like 42 inches, and then they stopped. This is the beauty of the NIST thing, and this is why I say that it's like half-truths and not necessarily lies, is because it was obviously 42 inches, that's a huge lie, and I've lied about my inches before, but not by 42, 41 of them, or 39 of them, I guess it would be. That would be a bit mistakable, but come on. So obviously that's a lie, but there's a bunch of mistruths and misnomers about how the buildings were constructed and the NIST. The entire NIST report and the computer model that they say that they develop new technology and new ways to do all this stuff stops at the point of the beginning of the collapse. It stops so it doesn't have to actually explain why the other 86 floors or whatever it was of each of those particular towers that wasn't damaged, that was just perfectly fine, that could hold somewhere between 36,000 and 65,000 pounds per square inch based on the steel structure on the outside and the inside of the floors. All of the outer columns were like up to 65,000 pounds pounds per square inch strength steel, and the inner columns were 36,000 pounds per square inch. So all of the other floors were undamaged, but we're supposed to believe that, you know, the NIST story, just because they stop right at there and don't ever explain why it would actually continue to go down. The fact is that the laws of energy conservation and motion put it stopping. If you took those 15 floors or whatever they are off of the top of the tower and dropped them, they'd drop in about 10 seconds or so and hit the ground. And, well, if you look at how long it took the towers to actually fall, it took about 10 seconds or so, depending on who you ask. And I tend to go with scientific data as opposed to somebody's paid or whatever response of it. And there's scientific data, the seismic data that exists, there's noise. Seismic data was taken from a number of sources that day all across America that show anomalies, explosions before, what appear to be explosions before the towers are actually struck. And that coincides with testimony from firefighters and first responders who were in the buildings at the time that said that explosions came from up underneath And so that there's seismic data that coincides with when the towers fell as well. And if you watch that data, it's closer to the 10 seconds. It's closer to the free fall speed than maybe the 12 seconds that's pushed. And if you took the top 14 floors or whatever it was and put it back on the top of that tower and dropped it, it would have to crush them, right? It would have to push them down. It would have to actually crush them. Well, I mean, if you actually do the math on it, and believe me, people have, I'm not just saying this myself, many people have, upwards of 1,700 of them have agreed on the information, that it would have had to have been a jackhammer effect, which you don't see. There's no physical evidence to see that, to actually compound, to begin to cause it to go down. But even if you do the math and say that it wasn't blown out, that the floors had to do the pancake thing, if I remember correctly, the number that I heard, the smallest number that I ever heard, the most conservative number I ever heard, floor after floor after floor for 110 stories or whatever it was, smashing down on top of each other, one after another, all the way to the ground, as opposed to what we actually see them blowing up in the film, all of the footage. You see the particles, it's completely turning to dust as it goes. But we're supposed to expect that that's happening in a vacuum and that the building can fall in 10 seconds. Well, the smallest conservative estimate I have ever seen on that number for the towers to fall was 42 seconds. I personally think it would be closer to like 90 seconds, because it had to be at least 1 second per... Look, you're talking about no damage to these other... without explosives, mind you, no damage to these other floors, and all just the couple of floors at the top collapsing in a structure that's made to take multiple hits, and I'll prove this because we'll play some information about it. In a structure that's made to take multiple hits from planes is supposed to come down that easily. We'll be back on Mile High Liberty Radio.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Liberty Radio. I'm your host, Michael Storm, and we are talking about the 9/11 false flag event today. And as always, there are people out there that don't believe that what I'm talking about is true. Well, I've spent thousands of hours studying it, and you know, if you don't believe it's true, I hope you've spent thousands of hours studying it too. And if you have, by all means, please jump up here and convince me otherwise, because I've seen the physical evidence from both sides, including all of the hit pieces, and it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up in my own mind, and because I've spent the time studying. If you haven't spent the time studying it, and you think it's a joke, then you're just a fool to even try to say that I couldn't possibly know what I'm talking about, because I could. What makes your expert any better than mine, particularly when your expert is actually a part of the system that I am saying helped create these events to bring about our police state, to usher in the what was the first thing that happened after 9/11? The very first thing that they did, they went out and they pushed the their legislation for that. Oh God, I can't even remember what the stupid thing is called off the top of my head. I'll tell you why I'm a little bit upset, because this always happens when you talk about this. You get somebody that wants to tell you otherwise, that wants to say that their nightly news programmed version of the events of 9/11 are better than my own personal understanding, and I'll just speak for myself because I can't speak for anybody else when it comes to this, but my own personal understanding that 9/11, it didn't happen the way they said it did. And I made a statement just before we went to break about the towers being able to take multiple hits. Mike, fire that off for me. It's real short.
The building was designed to have a fully loaded 707 crash into it. That was the largest plane at the time. I believe that the building probably could sustain multiple impacts of jetliners, because this structure is like the mosquito netting on your screen door, this intense grid, and the jet plane is just a pencil puncturing that screen netting. It really does nothing to the screen netting.
So, and that right there is the words of Frank A. DeMartini himself, the man who designed the Twin Towers, explaining how they were designed to work. And that's what I was talking about. They claim, this is one of the funniest things about it, is that they talk about a lean or a bend or something to cause it to come down, or softening of the steel, when the outside steel where the plane hits, it never even gets to the inside, but the outside is this exact mesh that he's talking about in there. The outside of the building is this mesh of steel that he's talking about that you're just basically poking a hole through. Fires? Let's talk about the fires. We're going to talk about all of these aspects, and unfortunately, if I jump around a little bit, I apologize. I'll try not to. I'll try to keep it in order. But we're going into a break, and we'll come back and we'll cover all of these topics. But let's talk about the fire from the fuel that shot out the side of the building in a gigantic fireball that you can see, that it obviously isn't burning that hot because there's people you can see standing right there where the smoke's coming out. We'll talk about it all. It's Mile High Liberty Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Farron, host of The Real News Radio. I want to tell you about a must-have complete